always thought-provoking and informative. Forget the spin and media bias from the left and right. We know you are sick and tired of being told what to think, how to act, and what you can and can't do. Direct from the Ustream It Broadcast Network, it's time for another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show with your hosts, J.D. Williams and T.L. Farley. Real news and biblical common sense analysis starts in 3, 2, 1.
Well, welcome everybody, and we really do thank you for joining us for another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams, located here in beautiful East Texas, and I'm joined there by my brother in Christ and my co-host to this program, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley, there in the Dallas area. And as soon as he's finished playing with his computer, he can say hello. How you doing, Terry?
Just fixing my screen.
Everybody knows that you were fixing your screen. Trust me, everybody in all 50 states and 160 countries worldwide, we all saw you playing with it, so you're good. All right. Now, Terry, we got a million things to talk about today, and we're going to get right into it. It's one thing that I do want to do. Now, we have problems with the Catholic Church. I think we both acknowledge that there are some differences between the Protestant church, or, you know, evangelical Christian, whatever you want to call it, and the Catholic Church. I think that we all agree that there are some issues there, but at the same time, we also recognize that there are Catholics worldwide and that they are very interested in their Pope. And I think that we should play this for them. So here it is.
Pope Francis has left hospital after recovering from an abdominal surgery that was performed last week. The surgeon who operated on the 86-year-old says he's now better than before. Charles Gibson reports from Rome.
A crowd of well-wishers and reporters was waiting for Pope Francis when he was wheeled out of hospital here in Rome. This is the second time this year that he's had an extended stay in hospital after receiving treatment for bronchitis in the spring. That's led to concerns that his overall health could be declining. But the 86-year-old is set to travel to Portugal and Mongolia in August after continuing his recovery from surgery.
Okay, and we do wish him a speedy recovery. Hope it's 100%. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Catholics, they're going to be Catholics in heaven. Okay, I know, you know, people say, well, you know, you got to believe one thing or another. No, all you got to do is place your faith in Jesus Christ. All you do is that you accept it. You ask the Lord for forgiveness of your sins. You let the Lord know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, that he spent 3 days in the tomb, that he rose like he said he would, that he's ascended to heaven, that he is coming back for his church, and that you just promise to follow the Lord Jesus all the days of your life, and you will be saved. So there are going to be Catholics in heaven. They're going to be Baptists in heaven. They're going to be communists in heaven. I hate to say that, but it's true. Okay. So anyway, you know, Terry, I know that you were a Catholic at one time, so I'm going to go ahead and give you a minute here to kind of clean that up a little bit, because I know I was probably all over the board there. So I'm going to let you clean that up for me. Go ahead.
Sure. Yeah. First of all, the communists that are in heaven are going to be people that have secretly accepted Jesus, and they're living in a society that will kill them if they admit it. So they're trying to figure out how to survive. This is probably true in China in many instances, and maybe other parts of the country or the world. Mm-hmm. Going on the rest of it, the important thing is accepting Jesus as your Savior. The fact is, Jesus said, do not swear. Okay, he said, don't make any promises. Just ask me to save you. I will save you. And the Bible says in 1 Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, I believe, Jesus says, Paul says of Jesus, that Jesus will perform, that the work that he has started in you, he will complete. He will bring it to completion. He will perform it. That means to act. I love that word, having been an actor. It says Jesus will act. He will be the one. So the key thing is saying, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. He's going to teach you everything you need to know. As long as you read that Bible, he's going to teach you. He's going to bring that Bible. The Bible says that the letter kills, but the Spirit makes alive. And as long as you read that Bible and you trust in Jesus, he's going to make that word jump off that page. Joel and I were just talking about it before the show, and it will come off that page. It will come to you, and you will bring it into your heart, and he will teach you and guide you. The Bible says a righteous man falls seven times. So you might fail, you might do that, but it says his mercy is new every morning.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that because I really wanted to clean that up. I wanted to make it clear for people all over the world. Anybody can accept Jesus Christ. You can do it if you're in Russia. You can do it if you're in China. Or you can do it no matter what you have done in your life. You know, don't think that you have been disqualified from salvation. That is the devil's number one tool, telling you that you can't be saved because of something that you did. You can. Mm-hmm. That's the devil talking to you. The Holy Spirit will tell you, yes, you can be saved. All you've got to do is ask the Lord for forgiveness. Amen. That's it. Okay? It's free.
Amen.
You don't have to go kill people like they teach you in some religions. Go kill somebody. I promise you, God doesn't like that. He's not for that. Yeah. He doesn't endorse that. That's the devil speaking. Okay? So don't ever.
Let me throw this in real quick. Remember, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, it says we're going to sin sometimes. I try not to get angry with Joel, but sometimes I do. And it says if we will confess our sins to Jesus, he will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Because the truth is, we say, oh, I did this wrong. Jesus says, you're not saying the half of it. You did this and this and this and this and this. He says he will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Just keep confessing that sin, letting him make you stronger in him, leading you, guiding you, giving you wisdom and grace to follow him. And he, living in you, will perform these things until the day of the rapture. The day of Christ is the day of the rapture.
Amen. Okay, you guys saw the title I had up there, eminent. Well, you know, I'm using that word. I'm using that word intentionally because more and more, and I if you guys are listening to any TV news program, any radio news program, just listening around the world right now, you're going to hear this word more and more frequently. I promise you. I want you to start thinking about this. I want you to start make it a part of your daily routine to listen for this word, imminent. You're going to hear the word imminent more and more, and it's going to become more and more frequent. Imminent doesn't mean right this second. It just means expect it at any time because it's going to happen at any moment. Just like the rapture is going to happen at any moment. So I just keep that word in mind. Okay, now we're going to get on to a little bit of news here. We're going to begin with this one. This is about the Southern Baptist Convention, and Terry and I both have problems with the Southern Baptist Convention, but this isn't one of them. The Southern Baptist Convention and the Saddleback Church. Have you heard of the Saddleback Church, Terry? Have you heard of that church? You know who that is, right?
Rick Warren, yep.
Okay, let's listen.
The Southern Baptist Convention has refused to welcome Saddleback Church back into its fold, rejecting an appeal by the California megachurch over its February ouster for having women pastors. The results of the Tuesday votes were announced Wednesday morning on the concluding day of the two-day annual meeting of the nation's largest Protestant denomination, whose statement of faith asserts that only qualified men can serve as pastors.
Okay, now I understand that this is going to be a highly controversial subject and that everybody's going to have their own opinion of it. But isn't it true that the Bible does, in fact, support what the Southern Baptist Convention has ruled, Terry?
Yes, they do. And there are, by the way, within the Southern Baptist Convention, it is my understanding, I have heard of women who are pastors of Southern Baptist churches. How they deal with that particular problem, I don't know. But yes, you're right. Paul said that the women are not to take authority over men in positions of leadership in terms of being pastor and so forth. That, and in teaching specifically on a general scale. Certainly, there are many women who witness for the Lord on the street. They preach the gospel in that regard. But that's just simply leading people to Jesus. I don't mean it simply as if it's nothing, but I mean it's a very plain activity. It's very open open and revealed that they are, all Christians are encouraged to lead people to Jesus, to witness
Amen.
To Jesus.
Right.
Everyone
and,
is.
Yeah, and I want to make clear here, this doesn't apply to like being the president of Israel, for instance, the prime minister of Israel. If you remember Golda Meir, I believe she was one of the first prime ministers in Israel. This doesn't apply to leadership positions. It's not a sexist thing or anything like that. This is a biblical thing. This is a theological statement that's made within the Bible. And when the Bible speaks on a subject, we're supposed to adhere to that. And, you know, I've said many times, and I know Terry has too, if the Bible's silent on this, we're silent. But the Bible is not silent on this, so I could not be silent on this myself in raising this.
Let me throw this in real quick.
Sure.
Here's something that's important, a distinction. The Bible says the Apostle Paul taught that Eve was deceived by Satan. She was deceived. She actually didn't understand. She was sucked in. She was hustled. But it says, Paul says, but Paul entered that sin with his eyes wide open. When a man sins, he knows exactly what he's doing. And so that's the reason. So because of that weight, he is the one who's responsible. Okay, you wrecked the bus, now you drive it.
All right, Terry, I'm going to give you your 2 minutes. I want you to get your stuff together right now. Just a really quick reminder that The Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show is proud to partner with a great educational program for youth based on solid Christian principles and values. Now, as a parent concerned about what your children are exposed to and learning in public schools, you will appreciate the opportunity to learn about Kirkwood's Christian Online Learning Program that will keep your kids engaged and learning, all without worrying about the type of curriculum being presented to them. It only takes a few minutes to set up the program, and your kids can begin working independently on any device, including desktop computers, laptops, tablets, iPads, even smartphones. Now, you can learn more about this program on the Last Christian website at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net for all of the free information on Kirkwood's homeschool learning program for kids. And hey, get this, the whole program, well, it only costs you about $1 a day. It doesn't get better than that. Visit us at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net and receive your information all about Kirkwood's homeschooling learning program for kids. And with that, sir, you are now up.
Today's Last Christian Charge. Folks, let me throw in homeschooling works. Engaging the sword. Pilgrims greet each new day, anticipating Jesus' shout, prepared for battle. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. His compassions fail not, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Now, continuing our gleaning of vital excerpts from his divine word, reporting from Genesis, following God's creation of the world and universe in 6 24-hour days. Chapter 3, verse 22 through chapter 4, verse whatever. I didn't get it down. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed him at the east of the Garden of Eden, and the cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. But Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel He also brought of the firstlings of his flock, of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell.
Okay, Terry, I'm going to have to jump in on you right there, and we will pick it up in the second half of the show. You know, the thing with the Garden of Eden, that thing is always, that thing with the, you know, the swords or whatever you're talking about, the flames, you know, that kept them from coming back. I always wondered about that, how long that stayed there. You know, I mean, it's not answered. I know that's not answered, but, you know, it's just something that always interested me, you know, and as a little kid, not knowing, you know, you got satellites and, you know, the world's all known and all that. I wondered if it was still there, you know. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that in real quick because it was just something that, you know. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about the United States and how messed up stuff is here. Okay, and you know, there's no doubt the United States of America is going through a period of time right now that history is going to look back on, if we have a history. History is going to look back on it and say, "Oh man, what were these crazy people thinking?" You know, in the early 2000s. If you remember a guy, a representative by the name of Adam Schiff, that lied every day for months. I mean, and you know, it's clear. I'm reporting this as a member of the U.S. Press Association for KRRB. This guy's a habitual liar. That's all he knows how to do. Okay, I always called him, you know, the bug-eyed, pencil-necked idiot. That's what I called him. But that's me. Okay, that's between me and Lord. Lord, I do forgive for calling him names. Please, please forgive me for that. But he lied every day. Okay, well, so he was finally brought before the Congress of the United States. They wanted to censure him. Okay? Now, the censure is not to be, I want to read this, okay? The censorship is not to be confused with censorship as in, you know, what Facebook and YouTube and all the main big social media sites are doing. You know, they censor American citizens, the free speech. They censor free speech illegally. And I hope someday that each one of them are sued to death to the point that they go bankrupt. That's a personal opinion, by the way. But anyway, censure is a formal public group condemnation of an individual, often a group member, whose actions run counter to the group's acceptable standards for individual behavior. In the United States, governmental censure is done when a body's members wish to publicly reprimand the President of the United States, a member of Congress, a judge, or a cabinet member. It is a formal statement of disapproval. It relies on the target's sense of shame or their constituents' subsequent disapproval, without which it has little practical effect when done on members of Congress and no practical effect when done on the President. Members of Congress who have been censured are required to give up, this is the big one, they're required to give up any committee chairs they hold, okay? A reprimand is considered a slap on the wrist and can be given in private or even in a letter, while a censure is a form of public, form of public shaming in which the politician must stand before their peers to listen to the censure. That's it. That's it. Okay. In other words, they still can have their right to vote. They are still there. They can still do everything they've done before. It's just they can't hold a chairmanship because you know they've acted irresponsibly. So you don't want them to be a chairman, right? Okay. Well, as expected, every Democrat voted against the censorship of Adam Schiff. That's no surprise, right? I mean, they always walk in lockstep. You know, always. Okay, always. But you would think that after this guy lied, Adam Schiff lied and lied and lied and lied for months and months and years, that every Republican would have the guts to stand up and censure the guy. Say, okay, you acted irresponsibly, right?
Yeah, you would. Yeah,
okay. Well, it failed. The censorship failed, and it failed because of 20 Republicans. All the Democrats, they voted in lockstep. All the Republicans voted for it except 20. And guess what? The last Christian newscast and radio show is going to do today. We're going to name them. We're going to name them. Okay, here we go. to Representative Kelly Armstrong of North Dakota, Representative Lori Chavez de Remer of Oregon, Representative Juan Siskamani of Arizona, Representative Tom Cole of Oklahoma, Representative Warren Davidson of Ohio, Representative Brian Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania, Representative Kay Granger of Texas, Representative Garrett Graves of Louisiana, Representative Thomas Keene Jr. of New Jersey, Representative Kevin Kiley of California, Representative Young Kim of California, Representative Mike Lawler of New York, Representative Thomas Massey of Kentucky, Representative Tom McClintock of California, Representative Mark Mullerano of New York, Representative Jay Abernalty of California, Representative Mike Simpson of Idaho, Representative Mike Turner of Ohio, Representative David Valadeo of California, and Representative Steve Womack of Arkansas. You, all of you, each name that I heard, you are now Republican in name only. You are a rhino, and I encourage the people in your state to vote against you and get you out, because you're just as big a liar as Adam Schiff. Have any comment on that, Terry?
No, I'm proud of you, buddy. I'm with you all the way on that one. I'll drive the bus on that one.
All right. Well, you know, I'm only reporting what is actual fact. So YouTube, Facebook, social media, think about it. That's an actual fact. I read you a factual statement. I don't care if it goes against your community standards or not. Community standards do not hold a candle to the United States Constitution. Okay. Amen. Here's another one. You're going to love this one, Terry. North California County mulls secession from California. Yeah. There is an actual county in California, and I'm putting a picture up on the screen here. This is El Dorado, and it relies mostly on its income from tourism and on unhappy people from Sacramento, the Bay Area, and Los Angeles buying residential or second homes away from the crime-ridden metropolitan areas. Now, that is according to, and I'm trying to find the name here, Sharon Durst, who is a part of this particular county. Now, it says that the secession for this El Dorado County would require the approval of the California legislature as well as the U.S. Congress. Now, the Sacramento Bee noted that in 2015, when some conservative activists argued in favor of splitting the rural northern third of California into a new state called Jefferson, that hundreds, and I'm turning a page here, hundreds of people showed up at the El Dorado County Board of Supervisors meeting in an effort to convince the county to join the campaign. Now, one thing that it says here is that no single county has ever successfully succeeded to become its own state. So that would tend to make you think that maybe this is an impossibility, right? But here's the other half of that, because I broke that sentence in half. The other half of it is, during the Civil War, however, a group of counties left then Confederate Virginia to become West Virginia. And to my knowledge, West Virginia still exists.
Yeah.
So it is possible. It is possible, okay? But that's not the only thing here. I also want to show you guys another picture, and this one is another group of people that want to secede from a state and move to another. Over there on the left-hand side of your screen, if you're watching this in video form, and by the way, if you're not, you can always go to www.lastchristian.net, and you can always find these in video form. You'll see Oregon. Now, Oregon actually takes up the majority of the picture you're seeing. But there are so many people in Idaho that are ticked off at how stupid Oregon has become, how socialist it has become, how it's so crime-ridden, that they want to create what's called Greater Idaho. And this is moving forward in both of the state houses, both in Oregon and Idaho, and the Greater Idaho people are winning. So don't be surprised if you see the states change a little bit, and there'll still be an Oregon, it'll just be a lot smaller, and there'll still be an Idaho, but it's going to be a lot bigger. Now, before you get excited about this stuff, because it's easy to get excited because, you know, that would mean electoral votes changing up and, you know, a little bit more strength for Republicans. Think about this. Mm-hmm. When the state of Texas joined the United States of America, it was written into the whole procedure that the state of Texas mm-hmm. could break into four states if they voted for it. Okay, well, think about it. Houston becomes a state. Dallas becomes a state. Maybe Austin becomes a state. And then everybody else, you know, in other words, the big cities, they'd form their own little three states, but they would have electoral votes. And then mm-hmm. all the rural areas, like where I live and all that, would be another state. And then I'm sure the Congress is going to throw in places like Guam and Puerto Rico and, mm-hmm. The District of Columbia. They're going to try to come. They're not going to want, in my opinion, they're not going to want to go from 50 to 51 states or 50 to 53 states or something like that. They're going to want to go from 50 to 60. So you got to start looking around for the other. Who would the other 10 be? And I can guarantee you that the way things are going right now is probably going to be very much weighted in favor of the Democrat Party, and to really ensure that a Republican could never again be president of the United States. Personal opinion on that, but that's where I think it's going. Sherry, you have any comment?
Yeah, it sounds like the fulfillment of prophecy, because everything is going to go south eventually. So,
right. Okay. We've also got Blinken, the Secretary of State, is headed to China. And he says he may be able to meet with the Chinese president. It's not guaranteed. Okay. He may be able to meet with him. But Beijing is frustrated by what it sees as the Biden administration's weaponization of economic policies. So they are seeking to expand their ties in countries in Europe, the Middle East, and Africa. So I think, again, this is just more of an indication that China is rising up. I don't think there's any doubt China's becoming big on the main stage. But, I mean, we got a president that just recently said, God save the queen. She died about a month ago. Okay. And you know, he can't figure out how to get off stage without falling down. He can't get up or down Air Force One without falling down. And he can't even complete a full sentence without coming across as an idiot. Okay. That's personal opinion. Okay. It's personal opinion. I understand that. But look at it and tell me I'm wrong. Just look at it and tell me I'm wrong. Okay, Terry, I don't have time for you to respond. You can respond in the second half of the show, because we're going to be back right after the break with the second half of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariana. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Jim sat in his car staring at the billboard. His pulse was racing. Vodka at low, low prices. A recovering alcoholic, he had given his life to Jesus and was now facing a massive trial. He remembered his pastor preaching about God's word and spirit and how they work together like a double-edged sword. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart, he heard himself whisper. Oh Lord, I'm weak. Lead me not into temptation and deliver me from evil. Instantly, it seemed like a steel belt around his chest just snapped. He took a deep breath and realized that the craving had passed. Suddenly, he became aware that his car's engine was still running and the satellite navigator was lit up. The little arrow was pointing to the right, and a tender female voice was saying, "Turn right at next junction." Jim burst out laughing. Oh, my Lord, your word and your spirit are my sat-nav to life. God trekking is navigating life by God's word and spirit. I'm Dudley Anderson. Why not drop me an email, dudley@surereality.net.
It's the New Music Update, highlighting what's new in Christian music each week. Presented by NewReleaseToday.com.
I'm Jeremiah St. James, and this is what's new in Christian music. From his upcoming fall release, a new single all on praising God from Brandon Lake. It's called Praise You Anywhere.
I'll praise you anywhere. Praise, give him praise, give him praise. And the highest praise, give him praise, give him praise.
And Nona brings us a new single, Tell Your Friends, all about us not keeping the joy of the Lord to ourselves.
More than I need it, it's not a secret. Tell your friends, I need the joy. I still can't believe it, too good to keep it.
Both new singles from Brandon Lake and Nona are available now and streaming everywhere.
It's what's happening each week in Christian music.
New Music Update.
Presented by NewReleaseToday.com.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to the second half of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in beautiful East Texas, joined by my co-host there in the Dallas area, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. And Terry, I know you had a comment that we didn't have time for there in the first half of the show, but all this consolidation of states and all this kind of mess that's going on there, I'm going to go ahead and give you a minute to reply. Hang on, I forgot to turn you on. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. I knew this was going to happen. I have absolutely no idea what we were talking about. Because, folks, I wish you could have sat in. I thought we were on the air before. We did some kibitzing and so forth in between that show and this one. And so I'm on the moon right now. So we're just going to move forward.
We'll just blow that off and move right on. Yeah. That's all fine right, and dandy. Okay.
Life happens.
All right. Now, I do want to play this report. This, again, as a member of the U.S. Press Association, I feel it's important that we always examine what's going on in the world and then try to put that into a Christian perspective to where people could realize just how close we are to a lot of prophetic things coming to fruition. So let's listen to this report. This is out of the ongoing conflict and problems there in the Ukraine and what might lie ahead. Listen to this.
Ukraine says it successfully shot down a number of Russian missiles aimed at its capital city. Kyiv Mayor Vitaly Klitschko says loud explosions were from the successful use of an air defense system. The attacks came as seven African leaders arrived in the country on a peace mission. Meanwhile, US officials have said President Biden would be open to offering Ukraine an easier path to NATO membership. Alex Cadier reports from Brussels.
NATO's support of Ukraine has been unwavering, but one clear point of tension remains between Ukraine and the North Atlantic Alliance, membership. President Zelensky has been pushing for NATO to give his country a timeline for when it'll be able to join the alliance after the war is over. So far, no timeline has been set. However, US officials have hinted on Friday that President Biden is open to Ukraine being exempted from part of NATO's usual membership process. That part is called the Membership Action Plan. Now, that plan would typically require a new member to make military and democratic reforms in order to align itself with the alliance's standards. While the democratic reforms would still have to happen, Kyiv may be dispensed from those military changes, which would considerably accelerate its membership process.
Okay. In other words, they're not going to have to go through the normal criteria. And anytime that you have anytime you do something like that, it never ends well. It never ends well. You know, you make exceptions to rules. And when you make exceptions to rules, then what's the point of having the rules? You got any comment?
That's right. No, that's exactly right. And, you know, it just Slippery Joe, I think that's another good name for him. He's just kind of weaseling his way through all of this stuff. And we're seeing the result. It's not good. It's like you say, it does not end well.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, I keep hearing in the mainstream media, all you're going to hear about is how the Ukrainians are winning. But if you're looking at the same reports I look at that come in from all over the world, then you realize that the mainstream media is telling you a huge lie. You know, this is a battle of attrition. And you put together the number of people and soldiers that reside in the Ukraine, and you compare that with the number of people and soldiers that reside in Russia, and it's overwhelmingly in favor of the Russians. Then you look at the equipment that's going on that is being sent in by nations of the West, and by that I mean the United States, Germany, the United Kingdom, France, and others. And you compare that with what's being sent to Russia by Iran, North Korea, and China, and you begin to see that the attrition is all on the Ukrainian side. They're going to continue to lose and lose and lose. Russia is there for the long haul. They're going to be there until the bitter end, and they're just going to continue and continue and continue. And over time, in my opinion, over time, more and more Western countries are going to say, look, we can't continue to send all our money to you to hold you up, you know, prop you up and make excuses for you and hope that eventually you're going to win when we know clearly that you're not. And then those resources are going to begin to dry up. The United States is stupid enough or hard-headed enough or however you want to do it. We'll stick with it till the bitter end, no matter what it costs. You know, we'd rather do that than take care of our own citizens, in my opinion. Yeah. Terry, you having a comment on that?
No, exactly right. We know the open borders. We know the drug cartels' victories over America, slaying hundreds of thousands of people in the last several years. You know, yeah, no, absolutely. The American government that is in office right now are the people that Joel is referring to. In my opinion, I agree with him, but they are the people he is referring to as stupid. The American people population is right now seemingly under drugs and not able to respond and get a better government going in our country. I don't know what's going on.
Well, it's not really that, Terry. It's that for the most part, America has no idea what is going on, you know, when you really think about it. Because you know, if you're told something by what you consider to be a reputable agency, like a CNN or an MSNBC, NBC, CBS, ABC, New York Times, you know, whoever, if you're being told something over and over and over again, you know, and you don't open your mind up and you don't go to, like I have a sister, for instance. She'll listen to MSNBC all day, but she won't even Fox News is blocked on her TV. She won't even, I mean, it's not even blocked. She couldn't see it if she wanted to. Okay. So, you know, as long as you got blinders on like that, you're never going to get the full story. That's why I get press reports from all over the world, left, right, and middle, extreme, both ways, whatever. Okay. I get them all. I compare them. And then the actual truth, believe me, it floats to the top, cream to the top. Yeah. Trust me, it does.
That's right.
All right.
That's
look at, for instance, Iran is now eyeing a closer relationship with guess who? And you'll never, I don't think you'll guess it, but I'm going to give you a chance. Go ahead. Give it your best shot. Who do you think that they're eyeing a relationship with now?
I have no idea. Since you've couched it in those terms, I'm playing my cards close to the vest. What do we got?
Mexico. Mexico.
Oh, man. No, I think I did hear about that. Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this is according to the Tasman Press, which is out of Tehran. The foreign minister of Iran has expressed optimism about the expansion of the Islamic Republic's relations with Mexico. Okay? Now, can you imagine for just a second a good relationship between Iran and Mexico, and Mexico says, sure, Iran, you go ahead. You can put those missiles over here too. Yeah, not a problem. Go ahead, put them up there. That way we can do to the United States what we're doing to Israel from the Gaza Strip, from the West Bank. You know, we can do the same thing. We'll start launching missiles at Texas, you know. And what's the United States going to do? They're going to protest the United Nations, aren't they? Just yeah. That's it.
Yeah, no protest. That's be yeah.
Because we're not going to invade Mexico. Anybody out there believe would actually send armed troops into Mexico? Does anybody believe that? Go ahead. Raise your hand if you do.
No, I'm okay. Scratching my back. Yeah, I'm not raising my hand.
I know. Okay.
So anyway. Yeah.
Now, there's also an agreement going on right now where they want to redo this Iranian deal, you know, the nuclear deal. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Blinken, here we go with Lincoln, Blinken, you know, he's back. This is according to Reuters. Yeah, there you go. The U.S. Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, on Friday rejected reports from Washington and Tehran that they were close to deals on limiting Iran's nuclear program and releasing U.S. citizens detained in the country. The only part of that that's right is they haven't talked about the release of the people there over there. With regard to Iran, some of the reports that we've seen about the agreement on nuclear matters, or for that matter, on detainees, are simply not accurate and not true. Notice he said some reports. He didn't say all reports. He said some. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, the actual thing is that they're actually trying to do a new weapons deal, which we send them billions of dollars, we take off the sanctions, we do all that, and they promise us that they're not going to attack our soldiers in Syria again, like they have done 70 times since Joe Biden took office. Let me repeat that, 70 times since Joe Biden took office, and we've only retaliated just real basic, easy, minor way three times out of all those 70, okay? Mm-hmm. Also, the UA president, now this is the UAE president, I'm sorry, out of Dubai. He's telling everyone that he wants, or he's telling Russians, Vladimir Putin, that he wants to strengthen ties with Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, remember, they're supposed to be allies with Israel, okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as good relations and that kind of thing, but you can't be friends with Russia and with Iran and, you know, all that block over there. Anyway, you can kind of see where that's going. Putin says Russia positions with nuclear bombs in Belarus are a warning to the West. He also said that talks with the West to reduce Russia's vast nuclear arsenal, and you really need to listen to this. This is really good. He also said that talks with the West to reduce Russia's vast nuclear arsenal, the world's largest, were a non-starter. Quote, just talking about this, the potential use of nuclear weapons lowers the nuclear threshold. We have more than NATO countries, and they want to reduce our numbers. Screw them. Mm. That's exactly what he said. I'm not trying to be nasty here. I'm just telling you what the man said. Okay?
That's a
what
quote.
He said.
It's called a quote.
That is a quote. Mm-hmm. Right. Look it up.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. Mm-hmm. Also, and this according to the Daily Express US, Putin has issued a chilling WW3, that's World War III, warning as the Kremlin ally is ready to use nukes. If you saw what I put up at the first of the show, okay, imminent. Let's keep going back to this, imminent. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's saying they're ready to use nukes. Okay, when somebody tells you that they're ready to do something, you better listen to them. If somebody comes up to you and they're mad at you and they're screaming at you and they said, I'm about to hit you in the face, what are you going to do? Or are you going to say, oh, well, you know, we'll get there. No, you're going to prepare yourself to get hit in the face and maybe to respond to it, right? Go ahead, Terry.
Yeah, because, and we have to multiply that, I don't know what, millions of times? Because we're not talking about one person getting hit in the face. We're talking about nuclear war. If you ever seen the movies of Hiroshima or Nagasaki, go back and take a look.
Right.
This is what we're talking about. All right.
Okay. Now then, the Ukrainian ambassador on Putin says, that he expects condemnation from Israel for a statement that was made. Okay, now I classified this, I put it in big letters on my sheet here. No win situation for Israel. This is what I put it. Okay. What this is the Ukrainian ambassador to Israel blasted Russian President Vladimir Putin, who lashed out at Ukrainian President Zelensky and claimed that Zelensky is not even Jewish. Speaking to I-24 News, they said that the Ukrainian government expects a condemnation from the Israeli government, adding that Putin's provocative language represents a calculated attack launched just as Ukraine's first lady is set to visit Israel. Ukraine's first lady is about to visit Israel. And it said, we do believe it's a pure provocation from the Russian leadership that's been made before the visit of the first lady. I believe the most Jews around the world are proud of Zelensky as a leader who is defending his country and fighting for freedom. We expect condemnation from the Israeli government. What he has done here is compared, he's compared Zelensky to Nazis. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, you know, even the Jews don't like this guy. He's not, even the Jews don't recognize him as, so they want Israel to step up and say, we condemn this. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's all fine and good, I guess. They could do that. But what is that going to do to Israeli-Russian relations? And remember that Russia holds the key to the sky for continued hits into Syria on those missiles, you know, in the Damascus area, and all, you know, to arm Hamas and other terrorist groups. And Russia could say, that's it, no fly zone. You can't fly over us anymore. That would be costly. So, you know, this is a situation where Israel is in a no-win situation. You know, we either stand up with the rest of the world in condemning Russia and take the consequences, whatever that is, or you don't, and you get condemned by the rest of the world. I mean, I don't see it as, I don't see there's a win in here for Israel anywhere. Do you have any comment on that?
Yeah, and of course, I'm going to sneak in on this one because you actually do see a win, and that, and his name is Jesus.
Amen. So,
but that's it. That's it. There isn't, outside of Jesus, no, there is no, there's no win there.
Yeah. Okay. Now, look, everybody's picking a side, and there's also a lot of, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe this. There's an attack on just about every kind of organization or people. Okay. I mean, and you personally have to pick a side. I'm throwing this out there as an example, nothing else. LGBTQ. Mm-hmm. Okay. You have an opinion on that. And you either think that the government ought to come down on it or it shouldn't come down on it. Pick any issue. Okay, and you've got to pick a side. Right now, I don't think there's any doubt that right now, as far as the mainstream media goes, there's only one side. And if you take any other side, then you are going to be censored. You're going to have your videos taken down. You're going to be shut down. You're going to be taken off of Twitter. You're going to have be put in Facebook jail or whatever, okay, if you don't follow the line, okay? And many, many times people say, well, you know, I'm not affiliated with that group. I don't have anything to do with that group, so I don't really care, right? Isn't that what people say, right?
Yeah.
Okay, listen to this.
The Motivation Minute is courtesy of InsuranceChicken.com. Today's quote was submitted by Timothy. Charles Bukowski said, "I guess the only time most people think about injustice is when it happens to them." Sadly, that's probably more true than any of us would like to admit. Reminds me of a famous poem written just after the Holocaust. "First They Came," the poem of protest. "First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not Jewish. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." This has been today's Motivation Minute. courtesy of InsuranceChicken.com. They're known for insurance quotes. I'm John Small. Thanks for listening. Your favorite motivational quotes can be submitted for upcoming programs at motivationminute.org.
I told Terry I was going to play that, but I didn't tell him what was going to be in it. What do you think, Terry?
Yeah, that's actually one of, in that area of discussion, that's one of my favorite quotes. That's why we have America. That's why the freedom of speech is so important. That's why we don't necessarily agree with everyone else, but we agree with their right to say it. And by the way, let me come back the other way on that. We agree with their right to say it. They need to agree with our right to say what we believe.
Amen. Right. I don't believe in censoring anybody. You know, I don't. And, you know, if somebody's got a different opinion with me, fine. Express it. Yeah. That's your right under the United States Constitution. But don't have a hissy fit because I express my opinion that it's different from yours. I'm so offended. Get over it. Okay? Just get over it. Grow up. Be an adult. Mm-hmm. Grow up. Mm-hmm. Okay, Terry, I'm going to go ahead and give you once again your 2 minutes, sir, and I hope you're ready because I'm going to put you up right now.
But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries to me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast given me out of this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that finds me shall slay me. The Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord, and dwelt in the land of Nod, in the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city, and called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Amen. Amen and amen. Now, I apologize to everybody out there that we have not been able to get back into Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel 38, that we haven't been able to get back into Psalm. There's been a lot going on. And I hope that you guys recognize that. But one reason that I wanted to put Terry on right then was to make sure that we get Scripture out. Scripture is extremely important. It's a big part, and it's really the focal point, no matter what you guys may think. It is the focal point of what we do with the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. We're trying desperately to find that last individual to accept Jesus Christ before the rapture of the church. We know it's coming. We know it's imminent. And again, imminent doesn't mean right this second. It could be right this second, but it doesn't mean it has to be right this second. It just means that it's something that you should understand is coming, and as Terry would say, is coming quickly. Okay? So please, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we ask that you pick up a Bible and read it. We also ask that you expand your knowledge a little bit. You know, if you are one of those people, by the way, MSNBC just made a big announcement that they surpassed Fox News for the first time in many years as being the number one viewed TV station. Number one. And I'm not going to argue with it. They are. Okay? Expand your mind. Listen to Fox News. Listen to One America News.
Yes.
Listen to other avenues.
Mm-hmm. And yes,
then listen to them with this, with the same open mind that you have listened to MSNBC and CNN mm-hmm. and the New York Times. Listen to them with that mm-hmm. same open mind. Compare the two, mm-hmm. look around, and then read your Bible. And I'm going to mm-hmm. point you specifically to Ezekiel chapter 38. Mm-hmm. You're going to see that exactly what the Bible prophesied thousands of years ago is coming true right before our very eyes. This is world news from a Christian perspective that you get with the Last Christian newscast and radio show. I do a lot of digging. Terry does digging. We put this show together to try to educate you, not to hide facts from you, but to show you real facts and to uncover real things. For instance, the Saudi foreign minister has arrived in Tehran, and they are putting together a very close relationship with Iran. Now, they believe that there should be a division in Jerusalem and that part of Jerusalem should be given to the Palestinians where they should create a state. If you read the Bible, you'll find out that's not going to happen. I don't care how many times it's talked about. I don't care how close it appears to be. It's never going to happen. Trust me. Read the Bible, and you'll see that instead there is a great betrayal coming where these Saudis who have been talking about peace with Israel, they're not going to have peace with Israel. They're not a part of the coalition that's coming against them. The Bible does not include Saudi Arabia in that coalition. It puts them in as a protester. But it opens the door for many countries to join Russia in the Great Coalition, which will come against Israel, as is outlined in Ezekiel 38. This, again, from Tasman News out of Tehran. Palestinians' resistance is leading to Israel's downfall. That's what they say. The cause of the Palestinian nation and the liberation of Holy Al-Quds from the control of the occupier Zionist regime will materialize only through resistance. On Wednesday, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, this is Ayatollah Sayyid al-Khomeini, praised Palestinian resistance groups for their victories against the Israeli enemy, saying the Zionist leaders are right to be concerned that they may not see the regime's 80th anniversary. Now, the reason this is an important point here is that he said about 5 years ago that Israel had 25 years left. Now it's down to five, he says. And that's in a very, very short amount of time. Now, there's only one way that's going to happen. Israel's not just going to fold. Okay, they're not just going to walk away and say, we're not a country anymore. What he's talking about is an all-out attack, north, south, east, and west, on the nation of Israel by those that are associated with the Iranian regime. This is, ready? Imminent. Imminent. We don't know if this is the Gog-Magog War. We don't know that. This could be another war. But there's going to be a war. It's either going to be a war from the north, or it is going to be where most of the battle happens in the north. That's what the North War is, where most of the battle happens in the north. Or it's going to be the Gog-Magog War. Either way, this is prophetic. Either way, this is either going to involve Ezekiel chapter 38, or it's going to involve Psalm 83. Pick up your Bible, check it out, and you'll see what I'm talking about. We urge you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior before it is too late. Remember, the end is imminent. Now, if we are allowed another day, we'll be back with another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. But we can't promise you that. So we implore you to please accept Jesus Christ if you have not. Remember, the Lord always gives us a good day. But it's up to us to keep it that way. Good night.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.